I closed my eyes and thought some more, and saw the beginnings of a sketchy scene take shape right there in my mind. Okay, I said. How about this? I'll kill a cop. By accident. Nobody spoke. I opened my eyes. It's a grand slam. You see that? It's totally perfect. It puts Zachary Beck's mind at rest about why I didn't act normally and go to the cops. You don't go to the cops if you've just killed one of their own, even if it's an accident. He'll understand that. And it'll give me a reason to stay on at his house afterward, which I'll need to do. He'll think I'm in hiding. He'll be grateful about the rescue, and he's a criminal anyway, so his conscience won't get in his way. There were no objections, just silence, and then a slow, indefinable murmur of assessment, agreement, consent. I scoped it out, beginning to end. Think about the long game. I smiled. And it gets better, I said. He might even hire me. In fact, I think he'll be very tempted to hire me, because we're creating the illusion that his family's suddenly under attack, and he'll be downed by 2 bodyguards, and he'll know I'm better than they were anyway because they lost and I didn't. And he'll be happy to hire me because as long as he thinks I'm a cop killer and he's sheltering me, he'll think he owns me. Duffy smiled, too. So let's go to work. We've got less than 48 hours. The 2 younger guys were tagged as the kidnap team. We decided they would be driving a Toyota pickup from the DEA's stock of impounded vehicles. They would be using confiscated Uzis filled with 9mm blanks. They would have a stun grenade filched from the DEA SWAT stores. Then we started to rehearse my role as the rescuer. Like all good scam artists, we decided I should stick as close to the truth as possible. So I would be an ex-military drifter in the right place at the right time. I would be armed, which in the circumstances would be technically illegal in Massachusetts, but which would be in character and plausible. I need a big old-fashioned revolver, I said. I have to be carrying something appropriate for a citizen, and the whole thing has to be a big drama, beginning to end. The Toyota comes at me, I need to disable it. I need to shoot it up. So I need 3 real bullets and 3 blanks, in strict sequence. The 3 real bullets for the truck, the 3 blanks for the people.
We could load any gun like that, Elliot said.
But I'll need to see the chambers, right before I fire. I won't fire a mixed load without a visual check. I need to know I'm starting in the right place, so I need a revolver. A big one, not some small thing, so I can see clearly. He saw my point, made a note. Then we nominated the old guy as the local cop. Duffy proposed he should just blunder into my field of fire. Nah, I said. It has to be the right kind of mistake. Not just a careless shot. Beck Sr. needs to be impressed with me in the right kind of way. I need to do it deliberately, but recklessly. Like I'm a madman, but a madman who can shoot. Duffy agreed, and Elliot thought through a mental list of available vehicles and offered me an old panel van. Said I could be a delivery guy. Said it would give me a legitimate reason to be hanging out on the street. We made lists, on paper and in our heads. The 2 guys my age were sitting there without an assigned task, and they were unhappy about it. "You're backup cops," I said. "Suppose the kid doesn't even see me shoot the first one. He might have fainted or something. You need to chase us in a car, and I'll take you out when I'm certain he's watching."
"Can't have backup cops," the old guy said. "I mean, what's going on here? Suddenly the whole place is swarming with cops for no good reason?"
"College cops," Duffy said. "You know those rent-a-cop guys colleges have? They just happen to be there. I mean, where else would you find them?"
"Excellent," I said. "They can start from right inside the campus. They can control the whole thing by radio from the rear."
"How will you take them out?"
Elliot asked me, like it was an issue. I nodded. I saw the problem. I would have fired 6 shots by then. "I can't reload, not while I'm driving. Not with blanks. The kid might notice."
"Can you ram them? Force them off the road?"
"Not in a crummy old van." "Now, I'll have to have a 2nd revolver, preloaded, waiting inside the van, in the glove compartment, maybe."
"You're running around with 2 6-shooters, the old guy said. "That's a little odd in Massachusetts."
I nodded. "It's a weak point. We're going to have to risk a few."
"So I should be in plain clothes, like a detective. Shooting at a uniformed cop is beyond reckless. That would be a weak point, too." Okay. Agreed. Excellent. You're a detective, and you pull out your badge, and I think it's a gun. That happens. But how do we die? We just clutch our stomachs and fall over like an old Wild West show?
Yeah, that's not convincing, Elliot said. This whole thing has got to look exactly right, for Richard Beck's sake.
We need Hollywood stuff, Duffy said. Kevlar vests and condoms filled with fake blood that explode off of a radio signal.
Can we get it? I asked.
From New York or Boston, maybe.
We're tight for time.
Tell me about it.
That was the end of day 9. Duffy wanted me to move into the motel and offered to have somebody drive me back to my Boston hotel for my luggage. I told her I didn't have any luggage, and she looked at me sideways but didn't say anything. I took a room next to the old guy. Somebody drove out and got pizza. Everybody was running around and making phone calls. They left me alone. I lay on my bed and thought the whole thing through again, beginning to end, from my point of view. I made a list in my head of all the things we hadn't considered. It was a long list. But there was one item bothering me above all. Not exactly on the list, kind of parallel to it. I got off my bed and went to find Duffy. She was out in the lot, hurrying back to her room from her car. Zachary Beck isn't the story here, I told her. He can't be. If Quinn's involved, then Quinn's the boss. He wouldn't play second fiddle. Unless Beck is a worse guy than Quinn, and I don't even want to think about that.
Maybe Quinn changed, she said. He was shot twice in the head. Maybe that kind of rewired his brains, diminished him somehow.
I said nothing. She hurried away. I went back to my room. Day 10 started with the arrival of the vehicles. The old guy got a 7-year-old Chevy Caprice to act as his police unmarked. It was the one with the Corvette motor in it, from the final model year before General Motors stopped making them. It looked just right. The pickup was a big thing, painted faded red. It had a bull bar on the front. I saw the younger guys talking about how they would use it. My ride was a plain brown panel van. It was the most anonymous truck I had ever seen. It had no side windows and 2 small rear windows. I checked inside for a glove compartment. It had one.
Okay?
Elliot asked me. I slapped its side like van people do, and it boomed faintly in response. Perfect. I want the revolvers to be big 44 magnums. I want 3 heavy soft-nose bullets and 9 blanks. Make the blanks as loud as you can get.
Okay. Why soft-nose?
I'm worried about ricochets. I don't want to hurt anybody by accident. Soft-nose slugs will deform and stick to what they hit. I'm going to fire 1 into the radiator and 2 at the tires. I want you to pump the tires way high so they'll explode when I hit them. We got to make it spectacular.
Elliot hurried away, and Duffy came up to me.